I checked that the definition of a dysfunctional family from encyclopedia. It reads, a dysfunctional family is a family in which conflict and misbehavior and often child neglect and abuse on the part of the individual parents occur continually and regularly, leading other members to accommodate such action either by fear or apathy. Children sometimes grow up in such a family with understanding that such an arrangement is a normal, and they often carry their lives in the same manner to their children as well. That pretty much sums up quite a bit. But I don't think it covers, it's not always regarding children. Within the family member, there can be conflict, there can be a lot of abuse. Do you know that God also has a dysfunctional family? It's not that God is an abusive father. We are the problem. All as his children, we are born with a sin, as a sinner, and we are sinful people from the beginning, so we have a problem. We are the one who are causing problem in their family. Apostle Paul taught us the submission in chapter 5, verse 21. Let's go back there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. We went from the wife submitting to her own husband, and the husband loved his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He's carrying still the same theme, the submitting to one another, mutual submission to one another. And this time he's going to talk about children. Instead of making a separate application like I do at the end of each teaching, I normally do, but this time I'm going to throw in I'm going to give you guys the applications throughout the study. So please pay attention. Starting at the verse 1 of chapter 6. Heavenly Father, we come to you as disobedient children, only saved by the grace of God and forgiven by the mercy of God. Fill our heart with the Holy Spirit that we may be obedient to you and less disobedient to you. Father, we think we know, but we don't. Remind us where we came from, remind us where we're going. Through Jesus Christ, we have that assurance. Speak to our heart that we may treat our children well. At the same time, for those who have parents, we may be a good children to them. Father, we pray for President Obama that he may turn his heart to you. That he may stop doing ungodly things. And we pray for our uniformed personnel, the law enforcement personnel, firefighters, and our troops, especially the one in harm's way. We ask you to protect them, keep them safe. And for those who are away from home and their families, you bring them back to them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 6, please. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Apostle Paul is speaking to the children who are the believers of Jesus Christ, or having a believers as a parent. And he's expecting children that obedience to their parents is a part of how they serve Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself was obedient to his earthly parents while he was growing up. That is Joseph and Mary. See, I'm not saying just here the young people, but it's for the we who are children of our parents. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said here. God has placed your parents' authority over you because we need the wisdom, guidance, and the protection they can provide. In other words, your parents are entrusted by the Lord to care for you and guide you with the Word of God, that is the Bible. Our home is a school for life, with the parents idly teaching and equipping children to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, walking in wisdom and love and righteousness. In God's design, they are for you and a mirror for how God Himself is for you. In verse 2, Apostle is quoting the fifth commandment from the tenth commandment. It applies to the New Testament believers. It still applies. You see that people say, well, we are no longer under the law. That is true. But do you know 9 out of the 10 commandments has been repeated, applied throughout the entire New Testament? With the exception of what? Do you know what that is? Huh? Exactly. Remember Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Why is it not applying to us? Because that was given to the Jewish people. To honor our parents means much more than simply obey. How many of us, if we are honest, we are obedient to our parents, but yet in our mind we are grudging, we were not obedient to our parents. Maybe we even call the parents in a few names. Honoring parents goes deeper than grudgingly obeying, and it means doing what you are told, even if you don't agree, out of your respect for them and your love for them. And some of you are thinking, that those who have children, I should have brought my kid here, right? Then you have this nagging question, what if my parents ask me to do something that against the word of God? Then you respectfully disobey God first. Respectfully. In verse 3, Apostle Paul reminds us that you young people, and there is a promise for the honoring God. And what is the promise? Honoring God through obeying the parents, that is to live longer. One of the Old Testament law was that God gave it to the Moses is that if there is a child who disobey parents and curse parents, God told them to take that child out of the side of town and stone that child to death. I bet they didn't have a whole lot of grumbling teenagers during that time. This promise does not mean that everyone who die young dishonor God. Or is a promise that those who honor God and obedient to parents will live 120 years. This is the simplest principle. When a child obeys their parents in the Lord, they will escape a good deal of sin and danger and avoid the things that could threaten and shorten their lives. This applies to every one of us. Listen, life cannot be measured only by quantity of time, the length of time, but it is also measured the quality of experience. God enriches the life of the obedient child no matter how long he may live on the earth. Sin always robs us, and obedience always enriches us. Make sense? I've seen some young people who lived a very short life, like 16, 15 years old. But they lived a better life than some of the old people who lived 80 years old, 70, 80 years old, and have nothing to show for to God. Young people must learn early to obey mom and dad, not only because they are your parents, but also God has commanded to be also. Disobedience to the parents is a rebellion against God. There is a parenthesis that, as I said, if what the parents said is against the word of God, you respectfully obey God first. You know, the way I look at it, behind these TV sitcoms and commercials that ridicule the family value, especially father figure, in my opinion, there is a demonic plan that desires to destroy your family through those young people and influencing their brain with the garbage. Don't let them fall for it. Rather, let them honor you and others. Be respectful to them. Now, let's talk about parents. That's for all of us. Verse 4, except Rachel. You better not be a parent yet. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, Paul turned to the fathers as the head of families, but this principle applies to both parents. If left to themselves, the children are selfish and sinful, and they are rebels. You don't have to teach them how to lie. They just know how to lie, don't they? And you don't have to teach them how to bite their siblings. They just know how to bite siblings. I was kind of chuckling. I said to Al and his children, I looked at his children and said, they look like a perfect kid. And said, they must be really good to one another. And he said, no, they know how to bite each other. We don't have to teach them how to do bad things. We have to teach them how to do good things. Like my grandson, I have to constantly remind him, say thank you, say please. Otherwise, he will do whatever he chooses to do. Someone said everything in American home is controlled by switches except the children. The Bible records the sad result of parenting neglecting their children, either by the being bad example to them or failing to discipline them properly. Good example is David. Remember David? King David had everything going well for him, and he made a terrible mistake, having an adultery relationship with Bathsheba. That next went on to the next one. And Absalom, one of his sons, and King David pampered him and set him in a bad example to the king, Absalom, and he revolted against his own father. The result was tragic. Eli, who was the high priest, and his two sons who were rebellious, and they were the one who disgracing the name of God, and conning the people and threatening people who come to worship God. And because of those two sons, because Eli did not control and discipline those two sons, brought disgrace to the name of God and the defeat to the nation of Israel. In the latter years, Isaac pampered his oldest son, Esau, while his wife, Rachel, pampered and then favoring their second son, Jacob. The result was a divided family. And Jacob also showing the favoritism. He should have learned, but he still showed the favoritism to his son Joseph. But God providentially rescued the boy and made godly man out of him in Egypt. Parents, you can provoke your children and discourage them by saying one thing and doing another, by always blaming and never praising, by being inconsistent and unfair in discipline, and by showing favoritism in the home, by making promises and not keeping them, and by making light of problems. That's no-no. I have 3 points for parents must do for their children. Number one, parents must nurture their children. Parents must nurture their children. A decade ago, someone asked the former President Bush Sr., what is your greatest accomplishment in life? And he had many accomplishments, as you know. He answered this, my children still come home to see me. This man had the right priority. It is not enough to nurture children physically by providing the food and shelter and clothing. Your children must be nurtured spiritually and emotionally. Dad has a problem with this kind of thing because somehow they think that dad is the disciplinarian. Be careful. That's exactly what Apostle Paul, do not provoke. You can find each situation you and your children come across and it can become an opportunity for the life lesson from the godly perspective. Teach them and show them by spending your time in the Bible and prayer first and spending your time with your children. Listen. Your children don't care what kinds of fancy house they were lived in or what kinds of fancy car they were riding in. But they will remember what kinds of conversation they had in their house and what kinds of good time they had with their own parents in that house and the car. Second thing parents must provide for the children is must discipline their children. Parents, you are called to be parents, not friends. Okay? Listen to me. This is the biggest problem that parents cause. Parents want to be a friend because they don't want to be unloved by their kids. They will do just about anything. You're called to be a parent, not friend. As long as the child is under your roof, the child is growing up under your care, you're supposed to be a parent. After they become a grown up, you can be a friend. I have a good friendship with my daughter. She's 32 years old. She's a sales director in one of those hotels up in Skyline, I think. There's a lot of things that I don't know that she knows. And I ask her. And I respect her opinion. Yes, I'm her father, she's my daughter, but we have a good relationship, good friendship. By the way, if you choose to be a grandparents, parents, if you try to be a friend all the time, you are going to ruin their future and you are going to ruin their character. You're going to make them into the monster and animal that no one to be around. Because they are selfish. Proverbs chapter 13, please. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves his son disciplines him promptly. Not 2 days later, not 4 days later, right away. Take care of it. Modern psychologists oppose the old-fashioned idea of discipline, and many educators follow their suit. And they said, let the children express themselves. If you discipline them, you are going to ruin their character and self-esteem. Yet, discipline is a basic principle of life and it's evidence of love when the discipline is done correctly. There is a Greek word for what this psychologist says, hogwash. between the God's counsel and the modern day shrink's advice, which one should I take? God. Hands down. We must be sure, however, we discipline our children in the right manner. This is very important, folks. To begin with, we must discipline in love and not in anger, lest we injure either the body or the spirit of a child, or possibly both. If we are not disciplined in the Word of God first, then we surely cannot discipline others. And flying off the handle never makes a better child, rather a bitter child. I've seen the result of this kind of thing from the domestic call. We call it 10-16. When we hear 10-16 on over the radio, a lot of times we fly, going into high speed. When I say we, that means when I do the ride along with this, my sheriff deputies. There is a big difference between child discipline and child abuse. The first one, you get to have a peaceful home. The second one will land you in the Pima County Jail, and we get to see you from the 10 on TV news at 10 o'clock. Here are the three bullet points from this, what I just said, discipline, regarding child discipline. Number one, abuse is unfair, extreme, and degrading. Abuse is usually harsh, unusually long, and totally inappropriate. When you drag your children's feelings through the emotional mud and kick them emotionally when they are down, you are being abusive. You have no reason to belittle them. Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, listen to me. You don't need to belittle them. The result of abuse often leaves emotional scar, if not physical one, that lasts lifetime. Abuse doesn't grow out of love. It stems from hate. And some people will say, well, I don't hate my kid. I love him. But if you're abusive, there's a hate inside of you. Second point, discipline is a fair, fitting, and uphold the child's dignity. Discipline is built on the foundation of justice and fairness, and it is biblical. It is not abstract. Child should have a clear understanding, good idea of the punishment that will be dished out if the parent's authority is willfully and defiantly violated. I know this thing because we have a grandson that is a terrible too. He constantly challenges. We ask him not to somersault on the couch. And I tell him, guess what he does? He does. And I pick him up, whack him under his behind. And he go crazy. But I have to let him know he's not in charge. The form of correction actually strengthens the child's character rather than shatters. Discipline is rooted in the proper motivation, love and genuine concern, not in anger and expedience. That's why it's best not to discipline your child when you're angry. Let's say your child did something wrong at the moment, you cool down first. Third point, give your children room to grow, to make mistakes. Every child needs a space in which to learn and make mistakes and develop his or her own character within the proper limit. As a parent, it is important, as a grandparent, it is important for you to distinguish between childish irresponsibility and willful and defiant behavior. You need to pick when it's necessary to discipline your children, not for every little clumsiness or forgetfulness. It's easy for a parent to be on trying to discipline the child, trying to raise the child correctly. They can be constantly on the child. Don't, please. pick the fight. Pick the right fight. If you have to fight with your child, pick, that is the wrong word. Pick, if you have to discipline your child, pick the right moment. Not everything. Third thing that parents must provide for the child is parents must instruct and engage their children with the training and admonition. Too many parents rely on the punishment alone to discipline their children. But by doing that, they are neglecting to give kids the assistance they need in understanding and applying God's word to their lives. At the same time, if they are obedient and do what you ask them to do, let them know how proud you are of them. Praise them. Encourage them. Give them a nice pat on the back. You don't have to buy anything special for them. Just let them know that you are pleased with them. And it's okay for dad to say, I am so proud of you. I love you. It is a good thing for dad to say. So how well prepared are you to shape your children's will and the wisdom of God's word? Are you training them in the way they should go and disciplining them for the going in the way that they shouldn't go? The book of Proverbs is full of great nuggets of wisdom. I highly recommend you to read the book of Proverbs. And if you have a hard time understanding, check out our church website. All the studies we've done regarding child rearing, we did 3 studies. And you can read that portion. Now let's talk about blended family. With the high rate of the divorce, even among Christian marriages, we have many blended families. Child discipline becomes a very hot potato between husband and wife. Husband and wife, please remember your priority. God first. Your spouse second. And your children. That's third. Do not choose your children over your spouse. If you don't, you will have another divorce coming up or at least another miserable marriage. Have you ever come across somebody that you know, couple who has a blended family, and they kind of complain to you that my stepchild tells me that I'm not his father, I'm not his mom, so I cannot discipline, that you're correct. They are correct. You don't have that authority. And you may say, well, I'm a stepfather, I'm a stepmom. It works better if you try it the other way. If your family is blended in one, then I highly encourage you to discipline your own biological child with the complete support from your spouse. It is important for you to do it that way. That way, when the biological parent discipline their own child, and you're behind that person, the child cannot really fight against you. Remember, your children can read your look as well as book. So do not express your disagreement against your spouse's discipline for that child, whether you're blended family or not. Let me rephrase that. The sequence of the divorce, reason for the divorce, number one is adultery. Number two is finance. Do you know what number three is? Come on, talk back to me. Child discipline, exactly. Because there's the disagreement. One is the disciplinary and the other one is softy. There's a constant battle. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, don't make a disagreement in child discipline in front of your children. Rachel, get a hint, okay? When you get married. Don't make a disagreement in front of your children, because they will know which one to conquer first. They know they have this simple tactic, divide and conquer. Even the 3 to 5 years old know how to effectively use it against the mom and dad. Not to mention step-parents. That disagreement, can, you may not say it, but if you have a, let out a long sigh in front of your child while the, your spouse is disciplining that, the child, if you let out a long sigh or the rolling your eyes, child catch that. Or stomping out the room, child catch that. And they're thinking, oh, mom doesn't agree with the dad. Dad doesn't agree with the mom. I got it. You must discuss and agree on the amount, content, and length of discipline to the child behind the closed door quietly, not in front of your child. And discipline should be painful enough for them to realize that it is not worth going through that it again. Don't threaten them with the unrealistic discipline and the punishment, such as, you are grounded for the next 2 years. You, the child knows it's not going to happen. And you know it's not going to happen. You know what it does? Your it just cheapens your words for them. To them, rather. If they insist that they are older and that they should be treated differently, give them more responsibilities. Whole lot more responsibilities. And make them to realize that there is a responsibility that goes with age. And they may not want to be that old anymore. One last thing, parents. If you did something wrong to your children, be honest and be courageous enough to ask them to forgive you. It's okay for you to say, hey, I did that wrong. Would you please forgive me? They will forgive you and they will love you all the more. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that somehow we learn something from you. We receive your wisdom to rear our children, to raise our children in proper way, whether they are our own children or grandchildren. Guide us, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.